every day we live in a world where we do the same thing. I do the same thing. Just a simple little Google and you can see most people do the same thing. Different classes of people, but you wake up. You scramble around the house, coffee, tea, whatever. You eat breakfast. You goof around a little bit. Then you go to work. And then work consumes your life. You work and you work and you work. And then you go home. And then after all the caffeination, you have to decaffeinate. Right? And then you do something and you blink and it's 10 o'clock. You got up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. You're tired. And what do? You go to bed. The cycle starts over the next day. And again, and again. That's just my class of folks. I dream of being in the next class where you wake up. One, you're super happy because you did wake up. Two, you have no boss. Well, you just look across and that's your boss, but and you get to do whatever you want, right? No one telling you what to do. And then everything starts where you work, you keep yourself busy, and you cycle through your cycle. All of us, we all have these things in common. None of us are special in that regard. But today, we are called out of the world. God has commanded us, stop. Stop the routine this day. Give honor to me. Tell me that you will worship me. Show me you will worship me. Be my people. And that's what we are. Then the Lord God Almighty told us, I am going to allow my son, Jesus the Christ, I'm going to allow him to return. That's right. I alone know when he's going to return. And he will return. Most of us know Jesus the Christ is going to return. But question that must be answered. What are we to be doing? What are we to be looking for? When will Christ return? And what are you supposed to be doing right now? When will Jesus return to rescue humanity? We all are in the same boat. The self-destruction button has already been pushed. Look to the left, look to the right. You can see the world crumbling. And here we are, knowing this special day, and we see the world a mass of just, well, cluelessness. Man, how special is that? How privileged are we? It's super exciting. But when will Christ return? 2031, you know, is close. That's like 2,000 years, right? We've seen that throughout life, right? Predictions of when Jesus the Christ will return. Boy, if you want to have, if you have some spare time in between your caffeination and decaffeination, have some fun looking up when will Christ return on Google. You'll get some really wacky stories. But what does the Bible say? Will Jesus come back? And if so, when is Jesus coming back? First, does the Bible say Jesus will come back? Well, yes. He will come back where? To earth. It says that in many places. Please turn over to Acts 1:1. I forgot to mention, as we do get older for that next stage, our bodies give in, and we need something to help us get through day by day. Acts 1, we'll pick it up in verse 11. Acts 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. We have the answer. We know he will return the same way he ascended, exact same way. And that's just it. You don't need to know anything more than that. We know up and down. So we know that. When the disciples asked Jesus, okay, you're going to go up, you're going to come down. What will be the sign? Well, Matthew 24, verse 3. Turn over to Matthew 24, verse 3. Turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? You see, they knew he was born to be king and would come back to set up the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God was going to be set up on earth. But they didn't know exactly what to look for. It's hard to put ourselves in that position at that time. We know a lot more than they did. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit leads us. And at that time, they were very confused. Jesus did give a very detailed answer, which, if you could do, we were reading Matthew 24 and 25 this morning, and there's your answer in there. It's a very detailed in the parallel Gospels of Mark 13 and Luke 21. So what did Jesus tell them? Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Okay, there's a little secret right there, right? Power and glory, Jesus Christ coming. One theory that is very widely accepted, that's been destroyed just by that saying right there. There is no secret return. He is coming with power and glory. And if our Lord and Savior says, I'm coming with power, you better believe every single living thing will know the return of Christ is happening. We can go to the Old Testament to see where is Christ returning? Zechariah 14:4 says his feet, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. So we know there will be the sign. We know where he will return. We know that he will return in the same manner that he ascended. We also have assurance that Jesus will come quickly. He told us an important reason he is coming back. Humans have the spirit of humans, which means that we will destroy each other. Humans are inherently evil. You could see that through just the way that the world treats the most innocent of the world, which are usually our elderly and our young little babies. They're the most taken advantage of in every country. So it doesn't matter what nationality you are, humans are evil. The evil of humans does not surprise us anymore. And as Christ said, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. So we know that he is coming quickly. Jesus gave you and I a tremendous amount of encouragement. Four times he told us, I am coming quickly. We must know these words are true, and we must be strengthened by these words. They comfort us, because everyone in here has something in common as well. We're constantly under attack. I don't know anyone that hasn't had a trial. Satan hates this time of the year. And you know, this time of the year, wow, each year that goes by, the attack becomes harder, it feels. And it lasts longer. And I can't wait for the Feast of Tabernacles to be here, for atonement, for Satan to be cast out. I can't wait for those days, because when we are with our brothers and sisters in Christ, I feel strengthened. This is my family. And if you know my family, you're just like them, literally. So I enjoy being here with you. I enjoy seeing you, talking to you, hearing about how you're doing, sincerely. We may be wounded physically, as this last month has been horrendous. And that's just my story. We may be physically damaged, but the most important aspect is as we go through our trials, we are not spiritually damaged. We need to do what we are told to do. You got a problem? Give it to God. You don't know what to do? Ask God. You don't feel like you have enough of this? Ask God. Oh, you need an answer to something? Guess what? Ask God. Everything is given to you. But God is eternal, and He has a different perspective on time. In our day, can we know that what He calls quickly will be soon? Consider the signs He gave. Turn over to Matthew 24, verse 2. So you're already in Matthew 24. And we read verse 3, but we'll read verse 2. You can see, we right now are going through the temple, the four different temples. We are going through that in our Bible study. King Herod built a temple, remodeled a temple. And it was beautiful. And it was grand. And so these words that Christ is saying, you have to put yourself in this situation. You have to physically put yourself, mentally put yourself there. When these words were spoken, what was the time? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Everybody admired King Herod's temple that he remodeled. Ask yourself, what on earth at that time could have destroyed that temple? No cannons. No bombs. Well, today, I mean, you just drop a bomb, boom, temple gone. So they were truly amazed. They're thinking, what could cause this? No stone left upon another stone? How is this possible? So Jesus' disciples came to him privately on the mountain Olives, and they asked, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and at the end of the age? You see, this is the backstory. You and me have something to do right now. You and me have to be ready. Me and you have to be prepared. This is the Christ is returning. It's assured. It's guaranteed. It's a biblical fact. You know, if those scientists can get together and all have a brain, you know what? We all agree, so let's call this a fact. Well, then the Bible, all of us Bible scholars in here, we can get together and say Christ is returning. That's a biblical fact. It's guaranteed. We know it. And yes, we are extremely biased. But many of the precursor events, they've already happened. The trends he predicted, they are in the works. We can see it. It is so clear. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, is it here? Absolutely. Did we all experience it firsthand? That pandemic caught me off guard. I have never fought so hard to get toilet paper. And think of in the future, it's going to be food. They're going to fight for just... We have developed as a nation immensely. Now we rely on someone else to provide everything for us. I can't go out and kill a cow. I mean, I guess I could, but man, I wouldn't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm sure I would do something wrong. And not to mention, you can't just eat lunch, right? I mean, if you kill a cow, I mean, that's like I'll probably starve to death before I get it on the grill. Anyhow, it's just a lot of things. An agriculture environment, which the Bible is filled with examples, we have lost touch with it. Okay, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. But the end is not yet. The abomination of desolation, is it coming? Do you know what it's going to look like? The great tribulation, you know it follows immediately after. You see that. You know that, right? We were reading Daniel 12 this morning. You have been given the answer. 1,260 days, 1,290 days, 1,335 days. It's there. God is saying, there's the numbers. You better know them and you better be prepared. And again, the focus of today is on how to be prepared. What do you have to do to be prepared? Jesus said after the tribulation would come heavenly signs. But before the great tribulation period begins, we can know that Christ's return is at least how many months, how many years off? 3.5. However, beyond that, we don't have a prediction. We don't know. Do we know the day? No. Do we know the hour? No. So, what is this? This is October, right? We don't know it's October. Today's the 3rd. We don't know it's the 3rd. It's fall. Do we know it's the fall? We certainly will know the season. We will know when it's ready, when we see the world ready to burst, we will know. And you are required to do something. We can't know the exact time. He wants us to long for it. Jesus, through the inspired writings, he came here, he preached, he told us, be ready. Well, it's coming. And what's the opposite of being ready? Well, turn over to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. We'll read verse 4. 2 Peter 3, verse 4. You see, when false preachers are continually predicting exact dates, the end will be now, the end will be then. It just adds to the amusement and the skepticism of so many people. It's not hard to see why many people don't believe in Christ's return at all. Are they scared of Christ's return? No, they just pretend it doesn't exist. Actually, I take that back. They don't even know it's supposed to happen. The world has become forgotten. You see, Peter prophesied that scoffers would come in the last days. 2 Peter 2, verse 3. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fall asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Has this happened yet? Have scoffers said this yet? I don't think they've said that yet. Most of them just don't care. I know that I'm a morning person, and I would get up at 5 in the morning, sometimes 4:30 in the morning. Once I stayed up all night talking to someone. As they fell asleep, I still talked. I know you can't imagine that, and I know it's not genetic. But I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get my grandma and grandpa's house. I saw a couple kids come in, and I saw the light shine on their grandma and grandpa. That was me. I went to my grandma and grandpa's house. My grandpa was an elder in the church. And we would talk about prophecy at 5:20 in the morning after having 5 cups of coffee. And we would not stop until my grandma would wake up. And then my grandma, man, she would jump right into the conversation half asleep. And she knew her Bible better than, better than my grandpa. And she would say, well, I don't know about that. Or maybe if you can look in 2 Corinthians. She just always kind of knew. But we talked. And my grandfather knew. He's like, you know what? I'm old. He's like, my body is very broke. Yeah, he looked super young, but he was very broke inside. And he said, I don't know if Christ will return in my lifetime, but I guarantee he's going to return in yours. And those words have always been with me, you know, because it is true. Christ will return in my lifetime. Once you know that, what are you doing about it? Are you prepared? Are you ready? It's happening. We see the evil progressing. Not knowing exactly when Jesus will return should not make us lose the urgency, the motivation, the intensity. If I could only focus all my intensity that I do on the wrong thing, onto the Bible and study, oh, man, I would be. This morning, my energy is off the chart after, you know, the Butterfingers I ate, after the Dr. Pepper I drank, and after the Three Musketeers I ate. sugar combined with caffeine is gorgeous. But I am so excited to be with my family to talk about this. Because we don't get to do that very much. I don't know about you, but at work, did you know today represents the day of Christ's return? Oh, okay, can you just help me with this, please? keep your comments to yourself. But we could read Matthew 24, verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Previously to Matthew 24, verse 45, Jesus himself gave us a warning. Don't be like the people of Noah, he said. And that's Matthew 24, 38 through 39. But who then is faithful and wise servant whom his master made him ruler over his household to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find doing so. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at the hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So how can we be using this time before the return of Christ comes? How can we be using that wisely? Here are some things Christ has told us. One, don't allow the lawlessness of society to weaken our love for God, for his law, and other people. Everyone is so evil. You just see so much evil in this world. Don't let it get to you. We are grown adults, and we can handle a great deal. Think of our poor children, what they deal with. Lawlessness is abound in the schools and the college. College was crazy when I was in college. I like to say that I worked really hard to get out of college, mainly because I didn't want to work. And then I get a job and I have to work for the rest of my life. So, but the evil is there. And we're not allowed to let it affect us to the point where it hurts our spiritual growth. And you have to endure the trials. They're coming. They've came. They've went. Endure every trial that comes upon you. You know, I did in this last trial. I'm like, think it all joy of trials. Our Lord, our Father, knows who you are. And he's allowing you, watching you as you go through this trial. He's rooting for you. That means he knows you and he's working with you. How great is that? To know the master of the universe is there watching you. It gives you energy to know how special you are. You are to help in the effort to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Every single person in here is a preacher. You're required to preach. Some do it with their mouth, but most of us are supposed to do it with our actions. You know, I know that person. They didn't really say much, but man, they were a good example. I always really liked being around them because they They just were good. They were a good person. That's what we are to do, to be examples. Don't become lax and lazy, because the world will influence you. It doesn't want you to do anything. And now today, everything's acceptable. Isn't that the plan? Shiny little object over here. Look at me, look at me. Don't focus on the return of Christ. Look at the shiny objects. I've never had so many choices for everything I do. I can be consumed. Even when you go buy toothpaste, there's 500 brands of toothpaste. I'm like, man, everything. Well, first, I don't shop anymore, so that's nice. But choices, there's so many choices. I loved it when I, black suit, blue suit. And if you look at my closet, I have a black suit and a blue suit. And I got crazy and got gray, you know. The choices consume our life. I've spent so much time, so many years actually wasted researching which thing is better. You know, go on Consumer Report, go on Google, look at the reviews. All for something that, you know what? It wasn't worth it. But this world wants us to just focus our energy on something else. What we should do is read our Bible and prove everything correct. You got a problem? Prove it in the Bible. You know, if you pray to God, open your Bible, pray, and then talk to God with a personal relationship. God, hey, I don't know what this means. Or I have any single question you have. Father, why did they make shoelaces? You know, talk to God. Spend an hour praying. The answer's in the Bible. I mean, it's amazing how God answers you through the words in the Bible. I'm being a little facetious, but you know what I mean. We all have so many problems. We have so many questions. The answers are literally in front of you. Be serving. Treat others in a loving way, not taking advantage of them. We are commanded to be that way all of our life. If there's two pieces of pie left, and you see someone once, well, one piece of pie left, and someone wants the piece of pie, it's okay. They can have it. Enjoy. Watch their face and how they enjoy it. It's beautiful to share, to serve. All of us should have that right here in our heart. We should want to serve. You should jump up and be ready to serve. And if you can't do that, serve in other ways. Faithfully use what we are given to grow spiritually. Do you feel like you're growing spiritually? You know what? Exactly 1 year ago, you were here with me. How have you done? We don't go to serve God just because He commands us to and just because we are here. You got to do something. You got to learn. What is it you're supposed to learn? What did you learn last year? It's tough to remember, but did you grow? Everything requires growth. You see, if you're not growing, you're not staying static. There's only two options. You're either growing or you're dying. You're shrinking. The Holy Spirit does not stay stagnant. So if you're not building on it, it's going away. Now, some of us in here have large families. Some of us in here have been in the church a long time. Have you ever looked into the eyes of someone who you love, who's in the church, and you look at them and you see The Holy Spirit is gone. It's gone. I mean, Feast of Trumpets.
What?
Oh, yeah, the Feast of Trumpets. We don't eat pork. Oh, that's right. It's almost overnight. If you don't grow, you shrink until it's taken away from you. That scares me a great deal. I told you many a times, you know, there was about 70 of us in the church, and there's not many left. You just look at your family, and they're just older. Some of them, my family, they're getting to that stage. They're pretty old, my uncles. And they don't know what we know. What hope do they have? I don't want that hope. Are you watching world events? We are required to watch. Matthew 24 says, watch. You need to know what's happening. Skim the headlines. You don't need to read all the information, but you need to certainly know what's going on. You don't need to know every aspect of, you know, the GDP of every country, per se. But if you know the hatred that major players are with each other, then you know what's going to happen next. There was a Bible study given by Cecil Moranville, and the whole Bible study was on watching. How do you watch? What news do you look for? Are you able to watch? Before services, I just Googled Cagua Cecil, and there it was. So it's out there on the internet. And it was, hey, there's so much information. You have to learn how to get rid of a lot of it and focus on the important aspects. Pray always. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You have to be worthy of your calling. You are here. Congratulations. But everything together says you must focus. You must have intensity. You must have urgency. You must watch. You must look. You must move forward. We know this, right? The human body is perfectly an example. If you're not a big person, it's because you haven't ripped your muscles. You need to rip your muscle, force it to grow. That's how you see big people. You know, when we're older, your brain. Well, how does the brain work? Same exact way. If you don't challenge and push, then you just become, we've all seen examples of that. Yeah, no. Why has Jesus, his return, why has it taken so long? Why has it taken so long for Jesus the Christ to return? You know he wants to return. Why have generations of Christians waited so patiently and not yet received the promise that's given? Most of us in here know someone that in my family, you know, my grandpa, my grandma, my great aunt and uncle, they all died in Christ. My father died in Christ. That is so wonderful. They fought. They made it. You and me, we have to keep fighting ourselves. Turn over to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3. In verse 9. The answer is given to us, as always. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The love that God has for us is so immense. He wants all of us to be saved. And he's not ready right now to allow some to be lost. So they need to move forward. We are here, but maybe more will be called. Maybe more will be with us. Maybe our family will grow. I love a growing family. It's the most beautiful thing ever. A new member to the family, it is wonderful. New stories. You've heard all my stories. I want to tell them to someone else now. God is working out his vast eternal plan. He will give every human being a chance to repent and to change. He wants those of us who are eagerly waiting for Christ's second coming to share the good news of the kingdom of God with others in these end times. We are living in end times right now. He wants those who hear of it to respond. And it's not just others out there, it's our youth. The calling is around you. We pray that that's the case. Respond. No, we don't know the day Jesus is coming back. But he does want us to know he will come. And he will bring his wonderful kingdom to this earth. Jesus' return is the best news ever. He wants us to know all about the kingdom, and it is coming now.